Chapter 7 Hansel and Gretel and the Broken Kingdom. Once upon a time, a little girl stopped into a tavern that stood along the side of a road. She shook her traveling cloak as she stood in the doorway, and wet slush fell from it to the rough wooden floor. Outside, the last gasps of winter tossed the branches of the trees, and the road was a mess of water and ice. Gretel sat down near the fireplace, and the tavern owner brought her warm milk in a pewter mug. She paid for it from the pouch the villagers had given her when she'd left them. Then she sat and stared gloomily at the logs in the hearth, their ashy gray outside spreading, deadening the fire inside. She knew just what that felt like. Months. Months on the road as the leaves had turned from red to brown and then had fallen. As the snow had begun to drift down from the gray sky, softly at first and then heavily, piling onto the frozen road in front of Gretel in white shifting mounds. She had wrapped her cloak around her tightly, but still the cold seeped into her skin down to her bones. From time to time her feet would slide out from beneath her as she walked, sending her sprawling into a mound of fluffy snow, or worse, a deep puddle of icy water. She walked without knowing where she was going, and more every day without caring where she was going either. She had lived with parents and without, in homes and in the wild, nothing was good. Oh yes, and Hansel was dead. She laid her little golden head beside the pewter mug on the worn tavern table. The table was sticky from spilled drinks. Gretel didn't care. She closed her eyes. There was a bang, and the door of the inn swung open. Gretel raised her head. A man stood in the doorway. "It's back," he cried, his voice cracking with fear. "It's back." The people of the tavern all rose to their feet at once. "Kinhightbird is gone," the man wailed. Cries rode up from all around. A few people pushed past them and out of the tavern door and onto the slushy road and began to run. "What do you mean, gone?" someone demanded. "It's all gone," the man in the doorway said. "The houses, Meister Beck's, the bakery, Frau Hopper's." "The people? I don't know, but there were bodies," he shook his head. "Many bodies." The room seemed to groan altogether. Some people sat down, others covered their faces. "I was out on the hill above town," the man said. "I saw it circling over the village. I would have run back to warn them, but there wasn't time. Besides, I had to stay with this one." From behind the man's leg, a tiny girl peeked out. She was hiding her face in her hands, but you could tell that her cheeks were stained with dirt and the lines of dried tears. The man went on. "It circled 3 or 4 times. I could hear people shouting. Then it banked and began to descend. It swept in on Frau Hopper's house, the big stone one, tore half the building off. I saw somebody, maybe Frau Hopper, fly through the air about 100 yards, and then crash to the ground." The man shuddered. "And after that?" someone asked. The man shuddered again, but said no more. An elderly man nearby guided him to a seat and brought him a drink. He put his head in his hands. A large, heavy-set woman came from behind the bar and lifted the little girl up and cradled her, and took her up some stairs in the back. When the door was closed behind the woman with the little girl, the somber tavern suddenly erupted with anxious voices. Gretel tried to make sense of it, but they spoke all together, and too loudly. What were they talking about? What had done this thing? Then gradually she was able to pick up one word that was being repeated over and over in the din. Dragon. Gretel was standing near 3 people, 2 men, a tall man and a bearded one, and a woman whose back was toward Gretel. "They say it's human," said the bearded man. "Half human," replied the tall one, "and half dragon, of course. My priest said it was once a man, but now he's possessed by a dragon spirit," said the woman. "It would have to be a devil man to be possessed by a dragon." "No," the woman replied. "The priest said no. He said a sad soul, a desperate soul, that's what he said." "Yes, I heard that too," the bearded man agreed. The tall one rubbed his stubbly chin. "They killed that man over in Walden. They thought he was a dragon. Guess he wasn't then. Guess not. He had children, too. They killed 6 brothers over in Hommelstadt," said the woman. "No, that's a rumor." "It isn't. My cousin saw it happen." "Terrible," said the man with the beard. "Terrible," said the tall man. "Terrible," said the woman. "Excuse me," said Gretel. She was standing at the woman's elbow. The woman didn't seem to hear her. Gretel tugged at the woman's sleeve. "Excuse me," she said again. A woman turned around. Her face was pale, her hair hung loose and limp, and her light eyes were circled with black. "What is it?" the woman said. "What kingdom is this?" Gretel asked. "Grimm," the woman said. "The kingdom of Grimm." "Or it was," the bearded man said ruefully. "Now it's the ruins of Grimm." "Where are you looking for?" said the tall man. Gretel's throat felt thick. "Do the king and queen have any children?" she asked quietly. The woman looked at the men and then back at her. "Did once. Twins. A boy and a girl, but they were lost, poor darlings. Disappeared in the night."
"Just before the dragon came," the man with the beard added.
"That's right, just before," agreed the tall one. "But where are you trying to get to?" Gretel hesitated.
I'm not sure," she replied. She thanked the group and walked to the door of the inn. Two men were standing beside it, arguing about the dragon. She stood behind them, half waiting, half thinking. At length, one noticed her, nudged the other, and they both turned to her.
"Can I help you, dearie?" She bit her bottom lip. After a moment, she asked, "Which way is the castle?" She said as if she wasn't sure she wanted to know. The men pointed with a blunt workman's fingers. Gretel nodded silently and stepped out the door of the tavern onto the road. She looked in the direction they had pointed. Even the road looked rough, painful. She looked the other way. Hansel traveled down the wet, icy roads, a solitary boy with charcoal eyes and curly black hair laden with flakes of snow. Behind him followed two obedient oxen, pulling two positively enormous carts. The first cart was filled with golden apples, 1,000 of them, round and firm and cool. Golden as in made of gold, of course, not golden delicious. Golden expensive. The second cart was filled with barrels of wine, barrels stacked so high that they tottered and creaked with every turning in the road. There was enough wine in those barrels to keep a whole village in drink for a whole year. The apples and the wine and the carts and the oxen were all gifts from the two villages, of course. You see, after burying Johannes and making a little headstone for him, "Faithful" was all it said. Hansel had gone to the village of the golden apples, where he told them of the mouse gnawing at the roots of their tree. They killed it, and the apples began to grow immediately, and so they gave him, as a gift, the 1,000 golden apples, and the cart, and the quiet, obedient, incredibly large ox. Next he had gone to the village of the wine, where he told them of the frog stopping up their fountain. Once they had killed it, the wine began to flow again, and they gave Hansel as a gift the barrels of wine, the cart, and another quiet, obedient, incredibly large ox. He named the oxen Ivy and Betty, which is strange because oxen are boys. That doesn't come into the story much, I just thought I'd tell you. So Hansel, having bested the devil and saved the two villages, and now leading a fortune in wine and gold, set out for the kingdom of Grimm. It wasn't hard to get directions either. Everyone could point you toward a kingdom where a dragon was. But Hansel's progress was slow, for he stopped at every village, every hamlet, every house and hovel he passed along the way, to ask if they had seen or heard anything of his sister, Gretel.
"You mean Gretel the old woman?"
"No, my sister."
"Gretel, my sister's baby?"
"No, my sister, and she's not a baby."
"I have a goat named Gretel."
"No!" He may have had a fortune in gold and wine behind him, and two obedient oxen to follow him wherever he went, but Hansel's heart was as black and heavy as it had ever been, and his feet dragged in the mud and the ice. Without his sister, he did not want to go home, or face a dragon, or face his parents. Gretel stood at the door of the tavern, staring down the road. Coming toward her were two enormous ox carts, each capped like miniature mountains with snow. Walking out in front of them was someone with dark hair, a small, dejected someone, whose feet dragged as he walked. There was something about the someone that made Gretel want to wait for him. As the carts drew nearer, her heart caught in her throat. With her fine ocean blue eyes, Gretel could now make out the someone's face. She cried aloud and tore off for him down the road. As Hansel drew closer to the kingdom, he seemed to see Gretel everywhere, in bakeries, in upstairs windows, going into outhouses, which resulted in some pretty embarrassing moments, as you can imagine. Just up ahead, there was a girl standing at the doorway of a tavern, and had he not known he was just seeing things, he would have sworn that that girl was Gretel, too. And the girl was no longer standing at the door of the tavern. She was sprinting toward him, her long blonde hair flying out behind her. Hansel blinked. He stopped dragging his feet. He ran.
Hansel and Gretel came together like two magnets meeting, like meteors that had been screaming through space toward this one moment of collision. They met in the middle with a bang, and instantly their feet went out from under them on the slick roadway. They landed hard in a puddle of icy mud. They stared at each other sitting in the puddle, lost and then found, dead and then alive, covered in mud, sitting on their behinds in 3 inches of filthy water. And they began to laugh. They threw their arms around each other and laughed until tears streamed down their faces. They sat, freezing, muddy, in a puddle in the middle of the road, with a gray sky overhead and their parents' castle waiting just a few miles away. They sat there and held each other until their arms ached. "Where have you been?" Hansel asked as they pulled themselves out of the puddle. "How are you alive?" Gretel asked at just that same moment. So they climbed up and on an ox cart and told each other about every single thing that had happened since the day of the hunt in the Laven vault, and some things twice. And as they talked and laughed and gasped and talked some more, Ivy and Betty drew them closer and closer to home. Hansel and Gretel are coming to the hardest part now. It's true that they've been nearly eaten by a cannibalistic baker woman, and they've talked to the fiery sun and to the child-eating moon and to the kind stars, and they've journeyed to the Crystal Mountain, and that Gretel has cut off her own finger and caused somebody to be boiled alive, and that Hansel has been turned into a beast and been shot and skinned and gambled away, and that he went to hell and dressed up like the devil's grandmother, and that he's been chased by the devil himself and has held an old man's hand as he died. It's true they've done all of those things, but sometimes coming home is the hardest thing of all. Soon Hansel and Gretel found themselves in the heart of the Kingdom of Grimm, driving through towns that still lived in their earliest memories. As they looked around, their stomachs began to twist into knots. Some of the towns looked just as they remembered them, as if memories of home could be modeled in wood and brick. But other towns, other memories of home, had been razed to the ground. Houses were torn apart, with their roofs and walls scattered and broken. Shops were burned, eviscerated, empty. Dead animals lay in the street, their bloated bellies stiffening as flies walked carefully across the surface of their eyeballs. "The dragon," Gretel murmured. Hansel nodded and stared. As they passed through one gutted town, the door on the wreckage of a house began to move. Its hinges groaned angrily. Hansel leaned close to Gretel. She took his hand. Then from the darkness a head emerged. It was a child. He was very small, the size of the child Gretel had seen in the tavern. He was followed by an older child, a girl, and then a still older girl. "Come out," the eldest said. "Look." From behind them emerged their parents. The whole family was dirty, emaciated, with ragged clothes and frightened eyes. Gretel said, "This is not good." "No," Hansel said, "it isn't." Suddenly Gretel jumped down from the cart and ran around to the back. "I'm going to give them an apple," she shouted to Hansel. The family heard this, and the father and mother and 3 children all came out to the cart. "You have apples?" the father said. "Not the kind you eat," Gretel told him, "but this might help you." And she reached under the canvas tarp, took out an apple, and gave it to them. "It's golden," the children cried, and the parents' eyes grew wide with wonder. But the eldest of the children, who was a few years older than Gretel, stared at her. "She looks like the princess," the girl said. The family stopped marveling at the apple and looked at Gretel again. "She does," the father said, and then tentatively he said, "Your Highness?" Gretel blushed. The eldest child had run around to the front of the cart. "And the prince!" she shouted. All the rest of their journey home, the family ran ahead of the ox cart, cheering and shouting for all to hear. "The prince and princess are home! The prince and princess are home!" People began to come out of their houses, slowly at first, peering fearfully around their doors. But when they saw the 2 children sitting atop the ox carts, and the family walking before them, shouting at the top of their lungs, the villagers' frightened faces gradually lifted, and they came out into the warming sun to walk behind the ox carts and cheer. Soon Hansel and Gretel had a train of followers 1,000 people strong, and still they gathered more as they went. They looked around them at the cheering, shouting, laughing people. Never had they felt so special, so important. They were just children, after all. Word of their arrival ran ahead of them. It did not take long for it to reach the king and queen at the castle. At first, neither king nor queen believed it. There had been rumors of the children's return before, But as the reports were confirmed, and confirmed again, and then again, king and queen, father and mother grew too agitated to wait any longer. They rushed to the great gate of the castle with pounding hearts and clasped hands. As the castle came into view with its tall turrets and broad porticos, Gretel took her brother's arm. She held it so tight that it began to hurt. He looked at her. Her face was lined with worry. "You don't think..." She stopped. She began again. "They won't do what they did again?" Slowly Hansel shook his head. "No," he said, and he repeated all faithful Johannes had told him. "They miss us," he concluded, "and they're very sorry." Gretel nodded. Hansel found her hand and held it. When the ox carts were only 100 feet from the gate, Hansel and Gretel got down. Their mother and father ran toward them, arms outstretched. Hansel and Gretel stood and watched them come. They did not reach out their arms, but when their parents reached them, they allowed themselves to be lifted up and held. "I am so sorry," was the first thing their father said. "I am so sorry," was the first thing their mother said. And they kissed their children's cheeks and wet them with their tears and held them tight. They told the servants to care for the oxen and put the canvas-covered carts in the royal stables, and then they brought Hansel and Gretel into the castle where they washed them and fed them. At last the whole family sat before a glowing hearth in the private wing of the castle. The shadows of flames danced on their faces. "Tell us everything," the queen said, her face beaming. "Where have you been? What have you done? How did you find your way home?" Hansel and Gretel looked at their parents, and then at each other. They shrugged. Then they looked at the thick rug on the floor. It will happen to you, dear reader, at some point in your life. You will face a moment very much like the one Hansel and Gretel are facing right now. In this moment, you will look at your parents and realize that, no matter what it sounds like they are saying, they are actually asking you for forgiveness. This is a very painful moment. You see, all of your life you've been asking for forgiveness from them. From the age you can talk, you are apologizing for breaking this, forgetting that, hitting him, locking her in the garage, and so on. So having them ask you for forgiveness probably sounds pretty good. But when this moment comes, you will probably be in a lot of pain. And you will probably not want to forgive them. In which case, what, you might ask, should you do? Well, you could yell at them and tell them about all the ways they've hurt you. This is a good thing to do once, because, believe me, they need to know. But this is the first step on the road to forgiveness. What if you're not even ready for that? You could pretend to forgive them. This I would not recommend. It's sort of like sweeping broken glass under the carpet. The floor still isn't clean, and somebody's going to end up with a bloody sock. Finally, if you don't want to forgive them, and you don't want to fake it, you can always go with Old Reliable, changing the subject. After a moment, Hansel said, "What about the dragon?" And Gretel said, "Yes, tell us about that." The king and queen exchanged an anxious look. Their children. They were still children, were they not? Seemed so different from the little ones that had frolicked at the foot of their bed on the very day they'd been lost. These two were so serious, so silent, so distant. But the king and queen agreed, with merely a look, as only parents can, that it was best to give them their time and their space, and so they told Hansel and Gretel all about the dragon. After the children had disappeared, the king explained, he had gone out every day to look for them. At first he had taken hunting parties with him, but soon he had become so distraught that he insisted on going out alone. He described pushing through the wet leaves of early spring, persevering through the hailstorms of March and the thunderstorms of April to find them. But he never turned up a single trace of them, and it was on one of these days, when he was far from the castle, that the dragon had come. It began by circling in the sky, the queen said. The villagers below ran in a panic every which way, unsure where to go or what to do. When the dragon dove that first time, it screamed, and it was said that the villages 2 miles away heard it. At the end of that first day, one town was utterly gone, and hundreds of people were dead. Hansel said, "What does it look like?" The queen shuddered. "It's hideous. Smooth black skin like a snake's. Eyes that are golden with no whites or pupils at all. Its wings are so thin you can see through them, and each of its talons and teeth look like long, sharp obsidian shards. When the king came home that first night and saw what had happened, he assembled an army, and they rode out to meet the beast, but they could not find it. Every day for a week they rode around looking for the dragon, but never would it show its face. Then, one day, the army was under the direction of the captain of the guards, where the king had been taken ill. That day, the king said bitterly, the dragon had come, and it destroyed the army completely. Now there were few soldiers left in the kingdom, and fewer still who would face the dragon. There had been nothing anyone could do for a long time now, except watch the dragon tear the kingdom apart. Gretel's brow furrowed. Well, she said at last, Hansel and I will come up with something. The king and queen smiled at her as if she were a very little child, and then they smiled at each other. It's very brave of you, the queen said gently, but we're just happy to have you home. You don't have to worry yourself about the dragon, dear. Gretel stood up. Her eyes were almost level with those of her seated parents. Almost. Has either of you ever had to cut off your own finger? She asked. They stared at her. She raised her left hand to show them. They gasped. No? How about killing people? How many people have you killed? Killed? Her father said. Yes, besides me and Hansel. The king's face grew red and his voice quiet. None, honey. Why? Well, we have. Two, Gretel said. Hansel stood up beside her. Has either of you been to hell? He asked. What? His parents cried. Been tortured by demons, Hansel added. They shook their heads and stared at their children. He gave them one last chance. Had the devil's head in your lap? Neither replied. Then I think you'd better leave this to us, Gretel said, and the two children went back to their room to talk things over. An hour later they returned. So, Hansel said, dragons love treasure, right? At least in storybooks, Gretel added. Their parents looked at each other and shrugged. I guess, the king replied. Okay, let's say they do, Hansel said. We have a cartload of golden apples in the stable right now. His mother's eyes grew wide. You do? How on earth did you get that? The king asked. We'll explain later, Gretel said impatiently. Are you listening? The king and queen nodded sheepishly. Okay, so we take the cart of apples out to a clearing in the forest, Hansel said. We open it up, Gretel cut in, so that the dragon can see it. Hopefully he'll be attracted to the gold. We'll have to raise an army. They'll be hiding in trees all around, Hansel said, with bows and arrows, and swords and axes, Gretel added. And when the dragon is distracted by the apples, the archers will fire at it from the cover of the trees. It won't know where the arrows are coming from, and it will be confused and, hopefully, wounded. And that's when everyone else will run out and attack it, Gretel concluded. Slowly, the queen began to nod. That's not a bad plan, she said. She turned to the king. Well, the king tried to find some fault or another, because that's what fathers do. Raising an army, he said, that will be difficult. Our people don't want to fight anymore. They're afraid. We have to try, Hansel said. It may not work, Gretel agreed, but it's better than doing nothing. After a few more perfunctory objections, their father finally had to admit that, indeed, it sounded like a pretty good plan. The queen, blushing a little, said, Do you need all the apples for the plan? If so, I understand, of course. The king smiled. Your mother would like an apple, he said. She's always had a passion for gold. That's how we met, you know. I heard, Gretel said. You stole her. I did not, the king said. Admit it, darling, the queen laughed. You sort of did. He stole mother? Hansel asked. Well, yes, I suppose. I sort of did. The king laughed at himself, and the queen laughed some more. Hansel and Gretel began to smile. It was the first crack in their armor their parents had yet seen. The king and queen, laughing and tearful, reached out their arms to their children. But with that, his children's smiles died away. After a moment, the king and queen lowered their arms. Gretel whispered, We have to go to bed now. It's late, and we have a lot to do tomorrow. Hansel stood without moving for a moment. Then he said, Yes, that's true. And the two children turned away from their parents and went upstairs to bed. I feel like something is pressing down on my chest, Gretel said, lying in her bed that night, her eyes wide open. Something heavy and sharp and painful. I felt it for a long, long time now. Since we left, Hansel said, nodding in the darkness. Since just before we left, Gretel corrected him. There was silence. Then she said, It's been getting worse recently. It's never been so bad as it is right now. I feel like I can hardly breathe. I know. I just want to take it and throw it off of me. Make someone else feel it and hold it and carry it for a while. The beds creaked and settled beneath them. They had been empty for a long time. At last Hansel said, "Not just someone else."
"No," Gretel agreed, "not just someone else."